1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Recalling a conversation with her former boss in 2018 about the $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels, former Trump aide Hope Hicks testifying at the Trump hush money criminal trial in New York. At the courthouse, ABC's Olivia Rubin.
She came across as remarkably credible on the stand. I don't think there was a person in that room who thought that Hope Hicks was not telling the truth. Just based off of her demeanor, she broke down crying. She was very careful with her answers. She was very soft, and she was very specific with what she was saying.
Torrential rain and flood emergencies for millions and tornadoes in southeast Texas and Louisiana. Indicted on conspiracy and bribery charges, taken into custody, Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar and his wife. The Justice Department investigating possible ties to the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. CIA Director Bill Burns now in Egypt to join talks about a ceasefire and release of hostages. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Student protesters are meeting with University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin today. That's after police and campus leaders promised to take no action against pro-Palestinian protesters for 24 hours. 34 people were arrested on Wednesday over tents the demonstrators put up on campus. Workers in Wisconsin say the government needs to fully fund Social Security. Jessica LaPointe is a union leader in Green Bay. She says chronic underfunding means slow service.
Service delays are far and wide, and it could take, you know, more than 4 months to start your retirement benefits up.
As part of May Day commemorations this week, unions are calling on Congress to find long-term funding solutions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Students at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay held a demonstration on campus to support Palestinian children this week. The event was organized by UWGB's chapter of Students for a Democratic Society. They spent over 3 hours reading off the hundreds of names of more than 13,000 children killed in the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza since October 7th. It was the first pro-Palestinian rally held on the Green Bay campus this year. Bethany Kennard, an English and language arts teacher at West DePere Middle School, was recognized as one of the Wisconsin Teachers of the Year at a surprise school assembly Thursday. She's the second of five teachers to receive the award so far this year. Kennard is also the school's advisor for the National Junior Honor Society. She's a volleyball coach, and she's the sponsor of the Reading Rocks group. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wrigley Field, the Cubs and Brewers, and Milwaukee comes out on top with a 3-1 win. Joe Ross, the winning pitcher, the crew laying down bunts, stealing bases, moving base runners, manager Pat Murphy suspended. So Ricky Weeks taking over was asked, were those his decisions?
Have you seen his play yet? And that's what we do. For our offense to really work, I think we got to be creative. And creativity comes with getting on base, maybe having a little bunt here or two, still a base here or there, but those guys in that clubhouse there, those are baseball players. So when you have that, you got a good chance of winning a baseball game at the end.
NFL Packers rookie minicamp underway in Green Bay. Last year, Alex Magoo was the number 3 starting quarterback. Today, he lined up at wide receiver.
He spent a lot of time on the practice squad or on the scout team running receiver routes. So we felt like that might be his best chance here.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of storms in the late afternoon and evening, highs in the low 70s. Sunshine in near 70 on Sunday. Looking sunny to start off Monday, then clouds return late, a chance of showers into Monday night, highs in the low 70s.
The Todd Alba Show.
Right State now. Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
I went for a walk yesterday, and I walked past the car, Jim's car, and I saw the light blink in the red light. So I come in here, I said, Jim, your meter's expired. He goes, no, it's not. I put in a bunch of money. I said, Jim, I think it's pretty sure it's your car. So he goes, I put it in the wrong meter.
So the guy next to me got free parking.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show each and every day. We do a show about nothing, but we make it interesting and, you know, we touch on the headlines. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, there it is. Friday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Educated educators talking education. Yes, it is TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. I had to think there on you for a second.
That's okay. I'm
remembering acronyms and then what they stand. TGIBPF. Yeah, that's it. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. It is Busted Pencils Friday. It's Tim. It's Anya. Johnny. Maybe. He definitely made it back from Madison, Wisconsin. We know that because last night he was in his space that he occupies in the state of Washington. So we know he made it back safely. So we're not worried that he might possibly be, you know, standing in line waiting for his baggage to return and it just hasn't come back yet. Or maybe he got on an Uber and the Uber driver didn't know which way to go. We're positive he made it home safely. For those of you saying you guys should check to see if he made it home safely, we already did. He's good. Lupinacci, when you find yourself, we're ready for it.
We'll take you when you're ready for us, Johnny. Well, when you're ready to come home, the show is ready for you.
Yes. The light is always on for you. You know,
we'll leave the light on for you.
We'll leave the light on for you. But yeah. Well, you know, unlike Motel 6, though, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Just got to put that out there. Minocqua Brewing Company sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Yeah, just putting that out there. It's been a week, a traveling week. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, Anya got to see each other for the first time in person. All of us together.
That's right.
All of us.
Big family reunion.
Big family reunion. Went down to Ian's Pizza, had some pizza, some of the best pizza, macaroni and cheese pizza. It was eaten for sure. So anybody's going, did Lupinacci try it? He did. He tried it and he liked it. He denied it at first that he was even going to get it. But one look at Ian's macaroni and cheese pizza on you. And he went, yeah, maybe I'll get one of those.
It is the lure. Once you see it behind the glass, that Ian's person's walking up. How many slices do you want, man? And you can smell that mac and cheese pizza. It's a lot different than over the camera like this.
It is. It's much, much different. So we did that. And then, the first live show Monday together, when we say the live part was just that we were all live and in person. And then Tuesday, though, the live remote from Minocqua Brewing Company Tap Room. Again, thank you for everybody who came out that night. Great crowd, great energy, support. the ability to show that, man, there are people who care about democracy and there are people who care about beer. Caring about beer and democracy kind of go together, Anya, and that was the best thing about that night, you know?
I agree. There was a great big sign over the bar that Johnny referenced on air that I got to see later that says, drink beer and don't be racist, which just seemed like two parts of almost, not maybe not every day, maybe not a beer every day, but each day you should avoid racism and a healthy number of days have a beer. It was a great message and a great place.
You know, if you're practicing non-racism, have a beer with it.
That's not even all. Just non-racism, Tim. Anti-racism.
Anti-racism.
I know I sound like Johnny right now. I got to jump
no,
in.
No, I know. My God. Geez, my words. I got to always choose my words so carefully. But yeah, lovely and Busted Pencils truly is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. And so when you hear us reading that about what Minocqua Brewing Company has been up to, the fact that as a progressive business, though, and Kurt Bankstead, the owner and entrepreneur, is that guess what? A private business can support public schools. Because as we keep saying, is that, you know, the foundation of democracy is public schools. Well, and one of the things in a democracy, to have a successful business, you have to have a successful democracy. So if you're a successful business out there saying, I want to get in on this supporting democracy stuff, give us a call. Call Busted Pencils, 855-752-4842, if you want to jump in. If you know a progressive business out there that wants to support democracy, hey, if you know a conservative business out there that wants to support democracy, call us. We're just saying, you know, we put it all out there. Busted Pencils. Hey, anything for democracy is what we're going to do. So, Anya, though, the other, yeah, and you said the news, though, education news, and we did, you know, we've also covered a lot of what had been happening with Title IX and the inclusion of the expansion of the definition for the protections of particularly the LGBTQ plus community, and now the kind of, you know, kickback from conservative states that are saying, yeah, we're not going to do it. And not only we're not going to do it, we're going to sue the Department of Education because, you know, when we passed our don't say gay law, we meant it, darn it. We were not going to entertain Anya. We were not going to entertain this thing that we were not going to say gay. We passed don't say gay because, sorry, we want to discriminate. Our law in our state says discrimination shall be completed and done. So, yo, Department of Education under the Biden administration, you can't go expanding definitions that conflict with our state definition because, you know, as a state, we're happy to bully and make people feel horrendous. I see a little smirk on your face there, Anya.
Yeah, I'm just pulling my face together to stop the little four-letter words from coming out on air. But it's hard when these laws and these statements come out from states where they're like, hey, look, it's our right. It's our right to bully some of our citizens on the basis of this identity or another. And the federal government will try to step in and say, hey, remember, like we gave you states some rights, but remember how we were all about, like, you can't infringe on some of this big stuff. Like, we're going to set some of the big stuff, and then you guys, the states, can handle some of the smaller stuff. It's just crazy to see the same states that want to yell about, you know, government overreach and these things. They're actually overreaching their, let's say, jurisdiction. They're overreaching in some ways and really screwing with the freedoms of some of their own citizens, they're gay citizens, trans citizens, and that's just gross and upsetting to see when that happens.
It's only overreaching when I decide it's overreaching.
Oh, sure, right.
You understand the definition of overreach only applies to me. So when I, you know, when I'm annoyed, I get to call that I'm annoyed, and I get to say what the cause is. Okay, it doesn't matter what the real cause is. What I say the cause is. And you know what? This one, I mean, the whole idea of expanding a sense of humanity to our brothers and sisters out there, the idea that you're going to literally put a lawsuit in to say, we don't want to do that. We do not want to expand protections and humanity, a nod to humans that, you know what, we're on this little, what do they say, this blue marble together, trying to figure it out, not here for a whole long time, but while we're here trying to figure it out. And one of the things, though, we seem to be, at least a good portion of people, is that, you know, it's not cool to be beating up on people if you yourself are a person.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, right?
Treat others the way you want to be treated is a statement that you find in many cultures and many religions and different words, but it all comes back to, would you like this to happen to you? If not, perhaps refrain from doing it. And yet we still see folks who do very cruel things to other humans without thinking about, hey, we share humanity, us too. Why would I do this to this person?
Just thinking about this, I'm reversing it and going, okay, like, let's pass laws that restrict single-sex bathrooms.
Sure.
Only make fully inclusive, gender-neutral bathrooms. You know, wait, that's actually not a bad idea, is it?
I was sitting here like, Tim, we can't suggest, because I kind of like this idea that, if and really what that would look like is every restroom essentially needs to have a toilet and or a urinal, or a toilet can go for both of those items. So it's not some crazy thing where it has to have gender scanning technology. It's just a restroom. Yeah.
You do not have to place a set of dead deer antlers above your door to designate who's going in there.
No, right? Or a set of doe hooves for the other. What would you eat? Exactly. I guess nothing above the door. The poor lady's room. Undecorated.
Yeah. Undecorated, you know, but hey, as long as you know where the bucks are, that's the reality of what's important. It's the bucks. It's men. Men are important on you in this world.
I keep being told that. Yeah.
And don't you understand how nervous we are lately that there's been a lot of kind of animosity heaped towards my mankinds? You know, there's lots of mankinds out there that are feeling awfully threatened. You know, I put that big old 8-point rack above my bathroom so I can make sure that the world understands that I'm a man.
That's right.
I killed that thing. I cut its antlers off and I put it above my bathroom to point out that I'm a buck. And if you don't like that, well then how about, here's the other bathroom. We got pointers and we got setters. So oh my God, I can't believe I just did that.
You are really getting into that business owner's mindset, Tim, and I think it's good to understand where that person might be coming from, but don't stray too far. I don't want to lose.
Oh, you know, speaking of that, though, too, check out Minocqua Brewing Company. We'll throw this out there, though. People in Madison, people in Milwaukee, hey, people in Tennessee, Texas, California, go to Madison, Wisconsin, check out Minocqua Brewing Tap Room, and here's the cool thing. When it is time to pick if you're a pointer or a setter, or if you're a buck or a doe, man, that will be fun, because that isn't the decision you get to make when you go to the Minocqua Brewing Company. You have another decision to make.
That's right.
And that would be so funny to see people going, I ain't going in that bathroom. We're going to leave that as a surprise for people. Go down to Minocqua Brewing Company, check out the bathroom, determine where you belong, determine where you want to drop your poop. Or your pee. Make that decision.
It is the most important decision of your day, isn't it?
I tell you, where you make that deposit matters. It's Busted Pencils. Make your deposit here, though. Call us 855-752-4842. Don't deposit like that, though, too. It's Busted Pencils. But Anya, you know, so yeah, the other part, though, of the news today, and I know you said it's been going on all day, every news, but what's happening on college campuses in America right now, protests, anti-protests, taking down protests, certain government agencies deciding that they're not going to permit protests, other institutions saying, no, it's our job to protect free speech and protests. What are we going to do? Well, coming up next, we're going to redefine anti-Semitism.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Jeff Levering and wife Ashley love their patio door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's so bright, it's so clear. I can see the kids outside playing, and it makes it comfortable for the life we live.
I love the roll screen. The fact that the screen is on the inside and no drafts, it's a game changer.
Right now, get 0% interest-free financing for up to 60 months when you order by May 10th. Set your free in-home consultation at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 5/10/2024.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
That's not me yelling, man. That's Tim from Rise Against. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The other Tim screams like that, not me. Man, I don't have a big voice like that on you. People are saying, like, Tim, why are you screaming so much when the music's coming in? That's Tim Mickelrath from Rise Against doing it. The number is 855-752-4842. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. And, yeah, to add to what's happening on college campuses right now. And so I'm gonna read from Al Jazeera here what happened. And the reason is that it seems like everybody's copying the same AP news about what happened. But, again, how did we get to the point where there is such upheaval on the college campuses? To remember that on October 7th, a incredibly blatant, horrendous, horrible attack on civilians happened in Israel. It was carried out by Hamas, which then led into retaliation by Israel, which has now led into where we are here now, Anya, in May? And wow. It's, how do you make sense of it? Well, some of the protesting is being seen as anti-Semitic, right? And so I want to put this out. The news from, and this is from Al Jazeera, but again, it's been copied from every other place. U.S. passes controversial bill that expands the definition of anti-Semitism. And quote, the United States House of Representatives has overwhelmingly passed a bill that would expand the federal definition of anti-Semitism despite opposition from civil liberties groups. The bill passed the House on Wednesday by a margin of 320-91 and is largely seen as a reaction to ongoing anti-war protests. It now goes to the Senate. Okay, so this would make a federal anti-discrimination law that bars discrimination based on shared ancestry, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. This would be adding to the IHRA's definition of the law to the Federal Department of Education, and putting this more into that this comes out of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism. And what this does, Anya, is expands Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, of which there is an anti-Semitism definition. It expands that anti-Semitism definition. And it hasn't passed the Senate, but 320-91. So overwhelming bipartisan support. The story that isn't or doesn't seem to be making it is the minority bipartisan support of saying not a good idea. Not a good idea to create an expansion of this. What are you thinking out there? Is this the moment where what's happening on college campuses, should we be defining, redefining, expanding the definition of anti-Semitism? Anya, you got some thoughts.
Oh, some yeah, is an understatement. Yeah,
right.
I have too many that I'm physically biting my tongue. I want to back up to just say.
Sure.
Oh, geez, where do I want to go? So this definition, as you're reading it, I think it's important to remember where the term anti-Semitism comes from, because as you referenced in it, it's about I can't find my words. Discriminating. There it is. Discriminating based on ethnicity, ancestry, shared ancestry. Right now. So that makes sense when you recall or learn that the word anti-Semitism comes from German, the German word Antisemitismus, which was a term invented. It was actually invented by Nazis to sort of scientifies, make their hatred sound more scientific. The proposal essentially Nazis were putting forward when they put forward the word anti-Semitism was, oh, we don't hate these people because of their religion. We hate them because of their race, because they're an inferior race. And through phrenology and a bunch of other pseudoscience, we can prove that they are less capable, less apt, so on and so forth. So in the sense that we need to be talking about anti-Semitism, comma, its relationship to race, comma, the understanding that Judaism is an ethno-religion, that there are ethnic components and religious components, all of that is important. Where I get nervous, and of course I'm just reading from the AP and understanding sort of what this bill is trying to look like, is I don't think this combats necessarily where the fear for Jewish students is residing when it comes to these on-campus protests. I want all people to be able to express free speech. When the definitions of the words in their speeches mean we want to hurt people, for example, a lot of these protests are using the term intifada, globalize the intifada, intifada revolution. I've seen video of the Shorewood High School students who walked out yesterday walking to the UWM encampment saying that. The intifadas were multiple periods of time where terror attacks happened against Jews. Not against Zionists, because then we would be looking for members of other religions who agree with the idea of Jewish autonomy, but specifically targeting Jews. So when I, as a Jew here, let's make the Intifada global, what I'm hearing is the same terror attacks that killed my friend Yogev's grandparents at a Passover dinner, you'd like to see that happen everywhere. And that is violent. That is terrorism. So I don't see in this bill, nor a lot of the time do I see in the conversations happening, discussion about what we as Jews are actually afraid of. I'm not afraid of kids in tents. That's fine. I love camping. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not okay with those kids in tents turning around and saying, hey, with no knowledge of this historical period. I mean, it would be like saying, let's globalize pogroms. Pogroms were a word for rounding up and murdering Jews in Imperial Russia. We wouldn't want to hear that term either. So I don't know what that answers, if anything. I guess it's a start, but I am sad to see that we're going to try to legislate that which is supposed to be like communal.
I was going to say, so here, you know, we're going to pass a law to, you know, and again, I get this because there's really, really though, also I said hardcore right and hardcore left on this one.
Yeah.
That are saying this is not a good idea. And I'm okay with the part of what the it's not a good idea, because anytime you quote legislate morality,
right,
you can't make people be, but you know, I know. And so is this going to potentially chill, is the word, is this going to chill speech? And if this law gets passed through the Senate, and if it does make it to the president, and if it does become law and becomes expansive of Title VI in the Department of Education and Civil Rights Act, then the enforcement of it is determined how. How do you make that decision? So when you look at a campus and you see tents, is that anti-Semitism or is that free speech? And I'm hearing some people going, well, if we expand that definition, potentially the tents themselves could be anti-Semitism. And I'm not sure that's where we want to go. But at the same time, boy, we would love those people in those tents to actually have a consistent message that wasn't so harmful. Hey, Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the tents and what they talk about.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin next week. He'll talk about his economic policies in Racine on Wednesday. It will be Biden's eighth visit to Wisconsin since the midterm elections. Donald Trump was in Wisconsin this week. Polls show the race for Wisconsin's votes a virtual tie. Wisconsin's newest sports betting venue opens today. Sean Cullen runs the Pottawatomi Hotel and Casino Sportsbook in Milwaukee. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront he'd back legalizing sports betting statewide.
I would hope so, and we would hope so, but at the end of the day, that's up to the state. But, you know, we're obviously supportive of that.
The Forest County Pottawatomi signed an amended compact with the state 2 years ago that allows sports betting on tribal property. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A proposal from Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin to build tiny homes for veterans in Brown County received initial approval from the Green Bay Planning Commission this week. However, the effort is facing some opposition from neighbors who feel the proposed homes would be too close to Veterans Manor's property line and may disturb the Brown County Poor Farm Cemetery. The full city council will have the final say on the zoning request at meetings later in May and June. The weather may say spring, but the unofficial start of summer is tomorrow when Bay Beach Amusement Park opens on Saturdays and Sundays. It'll begin operating 7 days a week starting May 22nd. Officials have announced a slight increase in the cost for some of the rides, such as the Zippin' Pippin' roller coaster. A new inclusive playground won't be ready for opening day, but Bay Beach officials say it will open sometime this summer. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Potential blockbusters opening at the box office this weekend include The Fall Guy starring Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers. Movie history will be made as this is the first time someone named after a baby goose in real life is named after a fictitious young horse. The Fall Guy is pulling an 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. Also opening is the film Unfrosted, written, directed, and starring Jerry Seinfeld, which tackles the issue of cereal wars and the creation of the Pop-Tart in 1963 Michigan. The film has not been made available for review yet, which is never a good sign, but fingers crossed. Rom-com fans might want to check out The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway, which is also reviewing very well. And finally, sometimes we see a movie so long ago, we're just not sure if it actually sucked or if we were just young and jaded. In a related story, check out the re-release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which opens in selected theaters. The film hasn't gotten any better, but maybe you're more forgiving now or just need a Star Wars fix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of storms in the late afternoon and evening, highs in the low 70s. Sunshine in near 70 on Sunday. Looking sunny to start off Monday, then clouds return late, a chance of showers into Monday night, highs in the low 70s.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Aw, it's not all because of me. It's all because of you, Anya. All because you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. No. Hey, it's all of us. It's Busted Pencils, actually. Fully led at Education Talk, 855-752-4842. End of the week. Yeah, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, and thank God it's Friday, maybe. Let's just put it. It's Friday and the potential of going into a weekend for a break. I do want to say, though, what an incredibly successful, awesome week, though, to get Busted Pencils in person into Minocqua Brewery for the Tap House, to be able to pull off such a great live event and to have so many wonderful people show up to that event and show support, both for the Busted Pencils, Civic Media, and for Minocqua Brewing. I mean, three great supporting efforts right there, Anya. You think about that. The brewery, Minocqua, supported. Civic Media supported, Busted Pencils supported, and people's own mental health supported right there. All right, so we have been, though, coming back to, again, what's happening on campuses and addressing that. Yesterday, the House passed a redefinition or an inclusion or an expansion of the definition of anti-Semitism that would be applied to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title VI of that, if it would pass through the Senate and then make it to the president. We are potentially, I didn't really have this time to set it up, though, right away, was to say, so what do we think this effect, if this was signed into law, is this an issue that goes up against? Is this too far? Is this infringe on people's free speech? Or is this just simply making clear that creating a sense of fear and harm and unsafety, you're not allowed to do that. That ain't free speech. You're not allowed to create a sense of fear. You know, the idea, you're not allowed to yell fire in a movie theater, right? Because it could cause harm. And so certain voices, we've got a text from Jay Skaliga. Get that. I
was don't know
at you.
Either.
Okay. Sorry, JS. Let's just say text from JS. I was at University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2019.
Oh, Milwaukee.
University of Milwaukee. And remember the incident. Students have the right to protest, but not to make threats, which is what happened. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee said it was free speech, but that's not what happened. Okay. So, yeah, is it free speech to threaten violence? No, it's not.
I'd go with no. I think that, yeah, that's the standard answer usually is if you're going to say something with the intent of I'm going to say it so muchly, I'm going to say something so hard at somebody that it's going to scare them, you're not permitted to do that. And that's a lot of the concern is, yes, you have free speech. Yes, you can support these things. If what you are supporting is, whether you know it or not, hurting somebody, then those words that you're saying probably aren't the nicest, right, most right words you could be using. Yeah.
Not the most right. And so at what point does, in this situation, does, how do we interpret the speech? How do schools and colleges now, with the potential of an expanded definition of anti-Semitism, how does that work in the fact of going in? So what do you have the protests? And, you know, I went to my trusted source, my best buddy, to get some suggestions for question, you know, AI.
Okay.
My AI. Yeah. And AI just was like, well, you know, here's some questions. How do you think the new definition of anti-Semitism might impact discussions and teachings about international politics on college campuses? It's a question. With the legislation potentially broadening what could be considered anti-Semitic, do you believe this will protect students or limit free speech? Why? So the answer here is to come and say on, or the question on this one is, we have a definition of anti-Semitism, and does it need, and if that's not working, and then we increase, does, you know, so expanding the definition, is that what's needed, or enforcement of the definition that's already there? That's the rhetorical question being put there. I know, Anya, you got the look of going,
I have non-rhetorical answers, but yes. Yeah, I'm thinking the same things. Yes.
Yeah. So another one, you know, have you or someone you know experienced or witnessed anti-Semitism or discrimination on campus? How do you think these new measures will affect these incidents? So maybe that 2019 event at UW-Milwaukee, what you're pointing out there, do you think if there would have been an expanded definition of anti-Semitism, that would have made things different for you, Anya?
I just think if Mark Mone had had a backbone. Sorry, I was thinking that if what I meant to say was, I wonder, I do wonder. I'm listening to the question and I'm rereading the new definition and I'm wondering, as with so many things in these past several months, what the point is. I think if this does anything, maybe this is the one corner that this would rest in, is more and more of the discussions being had by the students at these encampments rests around, and I hope I'm not extrapolating too far here, but the terminology surrounding indigeneity. Are the Palestinian people indigenous to the Levant, the land of Israel, or are the Jewish people? And I'll just very quickly levy, it's not an or. Both of these people have a deep, rich history in this land. So if anything comes out of this, it could be the importance of noting the ethno part of the ethno-religion that is Judaism, as people continue to have very heated, very emotional discussions about indigeneity, what part that plays in land rights, what part that's going to play in the current discussion. I guess that helps in putting to paper and understanding that there are two elements to it, the ethnicity and the religion. For example, I am not ethnically Jewish at all, but I am religiously Jewish, whereas you can also be 100% ethnically Jewish and a practicing atheist, and you're both
right.
We are both valid individuals. So if anything, understanding the ethnicity component, understanding the potential discussion around indigeneity, that's important. But I don't think that this terminology is really going to change. I don't think that this legislation is going to change what I see happening on campuses that is scaring students. That has a lot more to do with understanding the terminology being used, like intifada and things like that. If that makes any sense.
No. And that's what I say, you know, and I think that's the issue here is that, you know, passing a law, what is the purpose of passing a law? For me, what happens is that this is an attempt now for them to go, but we passed a law. I did, you know, and this is me critical of just politicians going, hey, we passed a law. We did what we're supposed to do. Come on. I'm working hard down here in D.C.
Yeah.
I'm passing anti-Semitic laws.
Or anti-anti-Semitic laws?
Anti-anti-Semitic laws.
Some of them are trying to pass some anti-Semitic laws, so we can call that out. But yeah.
So fighting against anti-Semitism or, you know, like the states kicking back on Title IX for LGBTQ students.
Right.
And the idea that they want the right to be mean and nasty and inhumane people.
Yeah.
And then Jim from Appleton, though, please don't forget that the protesters are trying to normalize the phrase from the river to the sea by leaving the second sentence off of that. That is Palestinian must be free. And in so Jim's interpretation, that means the removal of Israel. And so, yeah, so the language that is being used, how does that language land on somebody who's hearing it? And what I'm hearing Jim say is that, you know, from the river to the sea, even minus the rest of the definition, still is very much applicable to be heard as physically threatening. Is that the way you're hearing, Jim?
And I'll say I have opinions on this phrase prior to Jim, but yeah, the phrasing of from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. This is a discussion of the British mandate of Palestine. This is a discussion of the Mediterranean Sea and these other geographical notes that, while I don't inherently think that every single person who's saying it knows or wants to enforce violence, the root of this statement is, it is about a removal of certain people in that place so that other people can be free. The unfortunate truth is that, yes, in the history of this land, not just since 1948, since more than 1100 BC before Common Era. This is a land of conquest, of removing people, of the creation of diasporas. It's a really awful and bloody history, as with most pieces of land. But in the modern understanding, to use this phrase, this is calling for essentially everyone who is not Palestinian, especially those who are Jewish, to be removed from the area that is from the river to the sea. And this is edging much, much closer to a policy chant, a political statement on the destruction of the state of Israel than, hey, we're really concerned about the Palestinian people, and in any way that we can, we want to help them and everybody else.
And see, that's what you just said there too, is Anya, I'm wondering, and I do mean this as a wondering in the encampments, how many students are there really saying, I'm anti-war. I just want what seems to be a bombing, an incredibly lopsided loss of civilian life at this point, and saying we just want the war to stop, is, you know, saying maybe some form of a peace activist. And but then what you're talking about though too is that, and this goes back to busted pencils, the role of education,
right,
how do we now take this moment? And I think I've phrased it this way throughout the week, and even a little bit last week when we talked about this, is that how do you take the reality of what typically happens in a classroom, a K-12 classroom, where a student comes in and says, my sister was in the protest, I saw on the news this was happening, teacher, what side are you on? Who's your team? Right. And to go, okay, whoa. This is opportunity. This is actually a requirement of going, we need education at this moment. And so I'm saying, you know, it seems like there's a lot of education. As you point out, you know, the long history of displacement of people from the lands under some sense of ownership of that land, and using that and recognizing that, you know, ooh, man, you know, a lot of people might have a sense of going, well, boy, there have been multitudes of peoples relocated or forcibly taken off of their lands. And then those lands in some way become the new people's lands. They're just our lands. And right. You know, and it's just, I get a little wishy-washy on this, and I'll admit it, because now I want to move back into my Star Trek days in the 25th century, where we've come over and realized that we're humans and that land is Earth, and go like we have all inherited the land, and the land that we inherited is the Earth, and that the brothers and sisters that we inherited are on all the lands. And that I know. Right. And that's, I know people are like, well, Tim, that's just not reality. That's not the way things are. You need to take a stand. You need to take a side. Well, I kind of am in that. And maybe I'm coming more on the, you know, truly a peace activist, a pacifist on this, where it's just like going, man, what's for sure happening is no movement forward in a discussion to really say, it's just like, okay, this is really bad that's happening over there. There's lots of people getting wrapped into situations and places that they didn't want to be, or they're feeling like, and then people coming back and then defending, that's not what I meant to say. Man, it's a tough place. So back here, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, is it's not a tough place. And we're going to, if anything, we're going to lean into the uncomfortableness of going, this is really hard. This is really, really hard. And man, if I can just always take a moment to step back and go, we're humans and we're on this land. Man, we got to figure this stuff out, people. And a lot of that figuring out is done in the settings that we call educations in school. And maybe this is really time to realize that schooling, going for test scores, come on, we need to go for human understanding and compassion and acceptance of that shared struggle of what it means to be human. Yeah, when we get back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. An emergency fund is a special kind of savings you set aside for emergencies and emergencies only. Who should have one? Everybody. And why should you have one? In a word, security. Did you know that today, more than half of the adults in America, 147 million of us, can't even afford a $1,000 emergency? I recommend socking away at least $1,000 and eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of household expenses. You want to keep your emergency fund somewhere easy to access, like a savings account, and not in the stock market, thank you very much. Look, we can't avoid bad things happening, but we can work to make sure that when that never gonna happen to me thing does happen to one of us, we are as financially prepared as we can be. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
School's out, boy. Well, not yet. School's still in session. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education, talking some hard stuff here on Busted Pencils. What's happening on college campuses can be seen as just a simple exercise in free speech. Maybe. Can it be seen as posturing towards making other students not feel safe? Can people participating in protests potentially not be coming to the protest with full knowledge of what's happening and how words and how language and how history sets up a moment for certain ways for us to understand, and that depending on at what point in history you want to start understanding certain events from, you may see them differently because making that choice, right? Busted pencils, you know, but that's what we're trying to do here. And I was telling Anya during the break, the number one thing that Busted Pencils has always wanted to do, yes, public schools are the foundation and bedrock of democracy. But, you know, the simplicity, because that can sound itself even kind of like highfalutin, bunch of nonsense crap, Tim. I want any listener out there to go, I didn't know that. I don't know what I know now. I don't know that I'm clear on what I know, but I didn't know that. And now that I know that, man, I got some thinking to do. I got some considering to do. I got some research to do. I got some people to talk to. I got to get some sense of going, because I did not know that. And I have to imagine that that has been any one of us at any time at certain points. And all of us have always been in that place where we went, I didn't know that. That's okay to not know that, to not know that. It is. It's okay. It's not okay, though, to say, I don't want to know that. Or that I now know really gets in the way of what I want to do. No. Okay. Now you know. You did not know that. Now you know that you might be feeling uncomfortable. When we talk about this in education research, this is just simple cognitive dissonance. And, you know, when I'm working with future teachers, I'm always talking about, like, you know, if there's any goal in helping learning occur, one of the most opportune areas for learning to occur is in that state of confusion, or, yeah, the highfalutin term, cognitive dissonance. Okay. Or let's be honest, from an English standpoint, when you're confused as crap, okay, cognitive dissonance, confused as crap, you pick whichever one. But when you're confused as crap, there's an opening right there to be able to learn. It doesn't mean there's an opening to infiltrate But that opening allows us to go, I didn't know that. And what we want you to say for any of these topics, Title IX, the expansion and or the continued, you know, pulling back of even just the Title IX whole idea, you know, in the whole moving gender discrimination and recognizing that including in gender discrimination, that the inclusion of LGBTQ plus students is not necessary. It's, you don't have to be offended by other people being included in humanity. You know?
Yeah.
You could maybe disagree with it, but you don't have to then create pain and suffering for people's inclusion in humanity. So in this moment, if you've been listening to Busted Pencils over the past 5 years, if you started listening to just the podcast in 2014, the goal has always been to move in a direction that said, I didn't know that. And so when we came up with the show, it was imagining somebody driving by in their car, hearing Anya and Tim talking, hearing Johnny and Tim talking, hearing Johnny and LA Tom talking, hearing the conversation between caller Joanne, hearing the conversation between teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie. When we have those, and if you're listening to go, wait, I didn't know that. Okay, awesome. Next time you feel that, though, here's the other part. Give us a call. That's it, right, Anya? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. We will never go, how did you not know that? We're going to welcome you into the I didn't know that crowd because, man, I spent a lot of time recognizing I didn't know that. I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. And now that I know that, and I will admit sometimes some of the things that I come to know, darn.
Yeah.
That's not help. Go ahead, Anya.
No, I was going to say, I sympathize with that feeling. There are times where I look back and I went, you know, duh, if I had just like known a little bit more about this, I would have saved myself so many mistakes. And I think that too is what for me causes so much of this fear is I love the message of keep learning. And I am also scared that maybe some of the folks that I see posting from these encampments are at a point just for themselves where they're not interested in learning or listening to others. And keeping that mind open. I mean, it sounds kind of dumb or simple, but like that is the only way we're going to get through this, folks, is if you are willing to hear each other and listen. I know a lot of students like me don't feel welcome at the table where those discussions are being had for fear of being name called and thrown out, but you have to have that spot for them or we're not going to get anywhere, you know, ever again, it feels like.
Yeah, got to have that spot. And again, you know, if we're talking about free speech. Yeah. And with free speech becomes the protections that come with that. And yeah, Anya, we're admitting, you know, lots of speech is painful and uncomfortable. And in fact, we don't want to outlaw it. On this one, on the government legislating what is now could be considered of hate speech, I guess is what you say. You know, yeah. And then this is where my kind of libertarian conservative kind of rebellious side gets a little bit concerned about the man making definitions because Anya, it is the man.
It is the man. I'm nervous about the man defining me and my people too. I'll say that. So yeah.
Yeah. Anytime the man jumps in and tries to figure stuff out, man, usually the man, he ain't got a whole lot of good sense when he comes to the table. He's typically doing something that makes him feel like he is important. This is all about the man feeling important. I don't know if this is about making people feel safe. What a week, though. Busted Pencils. Yeah, man. Loving it. Got to see everybody in person out there. Hey, check it out, though. You want to have Busted Pencils live in your neighborhood? Give us a call, man. We would love to come out and be a part of your bar, your bowling alley, or your backyard. Busted Pencils. See y'all on Monday.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
It's producer Amanda. On the next Mino and the Mayor, the guys are joined by Frank Hermans, who has a new show at the Meyer. And the folks from Caribbean Taste Food Truck in Appleton are in our small business spotlight.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.